Hey everybody, you're listening to the Savvy Shutterbug Podcast. I'm Jillian Mansfeld. Here at the show, you can find out about how to become a professional photographer, get educated about photography-related topics, learn some fun ideas for your business, and a whole lot more. Welcome to the show. Hey there, Shutterbugs. Welcome back to the Savvy Shutterbug Podcast, where we unlock the secrets of great photography, one episode at a time. I'm Jillian, and today we're talking about something that can really elevate your photos from snapshots to stunning compositions. That's right, we're delving into the world of photographic composition. Don't worry if you're just starting out, we're keeping it simple and fun. Ready to see your photos transform? Let's jump right in. Let's kick things off with the rule of thirds, a cornerstone of photographic composition. Imagine a grid over your image, like in knots and crosses, or a tic-tac-toe board, dividing the frame into 9 equal parts with 2 horizontal and 2 vertical lines. This grid is your guide to placing your subject for an aesthetically pleasing composition. But why is the rule of thirds so important? It's all about balance and engagement. By placing your subject at one of the intersections or along these lines, you're creating a more dynamic image than if you place the subject right in the center. This off-center composition feels more natural and engaging to the viewer. Think about a landscape scene. If you place the horizon line directly in the middle, the photo can feel split and kind of static, but place the horizon on the top or bottom horizontal line and suddenly there's a sense of space and depth. The lower third can be perfect for foreground interest, while the upper third can show a dynamic sky. The rule of thirds also works wonders in portrait photography. Instead of placing the person's face right in the center of the photo, try aligning their eyes with one of the top intersections. This positioning gives the photo a sense of direction and makes the viewer eye travel through the frame, creating a connection between the subject and the environment. But let's not forget the rule of thirds is not just about placing subjects. It's also about dividing your image into segments that can hold different elements of your composition. Well, so what does this mean? Well, for instance, in an urban scene, you might align a building or a street scene along one of those vertical lines, leaving space for the sky or other elements on the other side. It's all about creating a balance that guides the viewer through the photo. And here's something to remember. While the rule of thirds is incredibly useful, it's not a strict rule. Sometimes breaking this rule, like I do a lot, can lead to even more compelling compositions. The key is to understand why and when to use it. So as you're practicing this technique, try to look through your camera or smartphone and imagine this grid overlay. Where would you place your subject? How can you use the thirds to create balance and interest? Experiment with different places and see how it changes the look and feel of your photos. The rule of thirds is a simple yet powerful tool that can elevate your photography from ordinary to extraordinary. Now let's chat about leading lines. These are the roads or paths or even rows of trees in your photos that leads the viewer's eye to a specific point. But why do we use these leading lines? Well, it's because our eyes are naturally drawn to paths. They provide a visual journey through the image. When you use leading lines effectively, you're not just taking a photo, you're crafting a story and guiding your viewer along a narrative path. Let's break it down with some examples. Imagine you're at a beautiful beach. You see a pier stretching out into the ocean. By positioning this pier so it starts from the lower corner of your frame and extends it into the water, you're creating a line for the eye to follow, leading that eye towards the horizon. This doesn't just add depth to your photo. It invites the viewer to imagine walking down that pier, feeling the ocean breeze. It's immersive and engaging. But leading lines aren't just limited in nature. In urban photography, they're everywhere. Think about a bustling city street. You could use the lines of the sidewalk, the rows of the streetlights, or even a pattern of skyscrapers. These lines can lead the eye towards a focal point, maybe a historic building at the end of the street, or a striking piece of street art. But there's a little bit more. Leading lines can also be subtle. Let's say you're photographing a person. It could be the direction they're looking in, an outstretched arm, or even a pointed finger that creates a line leading towards what they're interacting with. This adds a layer to your story, suggesting a connection between the subject and their environment. And here's a pro tip. Diagonal lines create dynamic sense of action, while curved lines add a sense of softness and flow to your images. Experiment with different types of lines, straight, diagonal, curvy, and see how they change the mood of your photographs. Remember, leading lines are a tool to control the viewer's journey through the image. It's kind of a way of saying, start here and let me guide you through this visual story. It's a powerful technique that, when mastered, can create and transform your photography from simple snapshots to compelling narratives. So next time you're out with your camera, keep an eye up for these natural guides. How can you use them to lead your eye? How can they enhance the story you're trying to tell? Play with them, experiment with them, and watch your compositions come alive with a sense of direction and purpose. Now let's turn our focus to another fantastic compositional technique, framing. Think of framing as the art of using elements within your scene to create a natural border around your main subject. So this could be anything from windows to archways, maybe overhanging branches, or even doorways. The purpose of framing is multifaceted. It isolates your main subject, draws the viewer's attention directly to it, and can add intriguing context or layers to your visual story. So then why is framing so effective? Well, it's like putting a spotlight on your subject. When you frame something, you're telling the viewer, hey, look right here, this is important. It's a subtle yet powerful way to control the viewer's focus. Let's paint a picture with some examples. Imagine you're walking through an old town and you see a charming rustic doorway. Through this doorway, there's a bustling street market. By positioning yourself so that the doorway frames the market, you're not just capturing the market, you're adding a story element. The contrast between the quiet old doorway and the lively market. It's about creating a connection between the foreground and the background, adding depth and context to your photo. Or consider nature photography. You're in a forest and there's a stunning view of a mountain in the distance. By using the branches of trees around you to frame the mountain, you're not just showing the mountain, you're showing it in the context of its surroundings. This can create a sense of depth and scale, making the viewer feel like they're peeking through the forest to discover the majestic view. Framing isn't just about what you include, it's also about what you exclude. It helps to eliminate distractions in the background, ensuring that your subject isn't lost in a busy scene. But here's a tip. Framing doesn't always have to be about hard lines or clear borders. Sometimes it can be about using light and shadow, color, or even a group of people to create a frame around your subject. The possibilities are actually really endless. In portrait photography, framing can add a powerful narrative element. Imagine you're photographing a person through a frame of something personal, like their art in a studio or a window at their home. This not only highlights the subject, but it also tells a story about who they are and what's important to them. So the next time you're out with your camera, think about how you use framing. Look for natural borders in your environment and consider how they can enhance your composition. Remember, the goal is to lead the viewer's eye to the main subject and add depth to your story. Framing, you can think of it like wrapping a gift. It presents your subject in a thoughtful, intentional way. Next, let's dive into the world of balance and symmetry, the yin and yang of composition. These two elements are fundamental in creating visually appealing and harmonious images. Let's start with balance. Balance in photography is all about distributing visual elements in a way that feels stable and aesthetically pleasing. It's like arranging furniture in a room. You want it to feel comfortable and inviting, not cluttered or lopsided or look like a furniture store. Why is balance important? Because it brings harmony and a sense of ease to your photos. It's all about visual weight of elements within the frame. For instance, if you have a large, bold object on one side of your frame, it can feel heavy. To counter this, you balance it with a smaller but visually interesting object on the other side. This creates a sense of equilibrium. But remember, balance doesn't always mean equal or symmetrical. It's about creating composition that feels naturally stable. Let's talk examples. Imagine you're photographing a landscape with a large tree on one side. To balance this, you might include a series of smaller trees or a mountain on the opposite side. Or in urban photography, if you have tall buildings on one side, balance it with open space or a group of smaller buildings on the other side. Now let's shift to symmetry. Symmetry is all about creating a mirror image. It's incredibly pleasing to the eye and can turn a simple composition into a striking photograph. Think of reflections in water, the perfect element in architectural photography, or a straight-on shot of a symmetrical object like a butterfly or a face. Symmetry brings a sense of order and perfection, often creating a powerful, eye-catching image. But how do you find symmetry is the question. Look for natural mirrors like puddles, lakes, or even a glass surface. In architecture, look for patterns, repeating structures, or line perspectives. Even in nature, you can find symmetrical patterns in leaves, flowers, and landscapes. When shooting symmetrical images, pay attention to your alignment. That is very important. The magic of symmetry lies in precision. Even a slight off-center alignment can disrupt the harmony. Balance and symmetry aren't just about creating a technically correct photo. They're about evoking emotions. A well-balanced image can feel calm and serene, while a perfectly symmetrical one can invoke feelings of awe and fascination. So when you're out with your camera, play with these elements. Experiment with different compositions to find the right balance, and seek out opportunities to capture symmetry. Remember, these aren't rigid rules, but tools to help you enhance the visual appeal and emotional impact of your photographs. Composition might sound technical, but it's really about making your photos more engaging and telling a better story. Experiment with the rule of thirds, leading lines, framing, balance, and symmetry. Play around and see what works best for you. Remember, rules in photography are more like guidelines, and don't be afraid to break them, because I do. Thanks for tuning into this episode. If you found these tips helpful, be sure to subscribe and share the podcast with your friends. Make sure to stay tuned for our next episode. Keep practicing and keep sharing your world through your lens. Until next time, this is Jillian, helping you take your photography to the next level. Thank you for joining me on the Savvy Shutterbug podcast with your host, Jillian Mansfield. As always, you can head over to SavvyShutterbug.com or JillianMansfieldPhotography.com and sign up to our email list, as well as check out the links and resources in the show notes. That's all for this episode, folks. See you next time.